If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
And here's Jack, and there's his head.
I'm here. It's been a while, so I got a lot to empty, right?
Okay, we're ready.
Eli and I are going to tag team this a little bit, so this might be a little beefier report. So
this is really getting like professional.
Trying to be. Something like that. All right, we talked earlier today. Argentina once again comes back to win. Mm-hmm. I like the memes on Twitter from Bears fans saying that Argentina is the 2025 Bears of the World Cup. I like that. So
oh, yeah.
Come back, Bears. Come back, Argentina. They're down 1-0, scored in the 85th minute, and then 2 minutes in the stoppage time to stun England. So that means it's Argentina versus Spain in the World Cup final. We're already at the end of this journey. It's weird. My days feel empty when the World Cup's not on now. So we only have two more games left. Third place game. England and France, 4 p.m. Saturday. The final is at 2 p.m. on Sunday in New Jersey. We're down to the final two here. And this was, a testy game here between Argentina and England. Yeah. A lot of history between the two teams. I think Eli's got more of that history.
Well, at the end, I didn't see anybody really congratulating each other, but I saw shoving each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think 3 minutes into the game, they started shoving each other. So no love lost.
Yeah, there's definitely a deep history that goes back between these two off the pitch as well. Obviously, outside of the soccer world, the two countries had a war back in the early 80s, Falklands War, kind of where this all stems out. And if you remember back, John, to the World Cup back in 1986 in Mexico, Argentina and England faced each other then in the quarterfinals. And one of the most famous games of all time that happened in the World Cup was that day in Mexico City. Diego Maradona scored what is known as the Hand of God goal. And it was kind of Argentina's chance at payback, they feel, in the war. They launched an invasion in the war. They lost to the British. And this was their chance, their next chance to like kind of face them again since then on a world stage. Early on in the game, Maradona had punched the ball into the net with his left hand, and no ref had seen it. It was blatant cheating, and he got away with it cleanly. And
VAR?
There was no VAR in 1986. They didn't have that type of technology at the time, and no one was able to challenge it.
You can use your head, but you can't use your hands.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. You can. Right. It's always been in the rule you cannot use your hands. He punched the ball into the net, and no one said anything otherwise. The goal stood, and minutes later, Maradona got the ball again, sliced through the English defense, and scored again. And FIFA labeled that goal, the second goal, the goal of the century.
Wow!
And both of those goals were able to give Argentina a 2-1 win over England that would end up sending Argentina eventually to the World Cup final, where they would win the World Cup. England prolonging their drought, as we mentioned all throughout this week. They haven't won the World Cup since 1966. Argentina now has the chance to go back-to-back as World Cup champions.
Yeah, they would just be the third team to retain the World Cup ever. So a lot of history on the line, and it's in New Jersey on Saturday. I think the third-place match is in Miami on Saturday night, and then Sunday is the finale. So in this game, Argentina and Spain, it's two of the top teams in the world. Lamine Yamal. There we go.
Nailed it.
I've been practicing that with Eli all day. He's the star for Spain. He's 19 years old against Lionel Messi, who's 39 years old. And there's a picture that's going around social media right now of a young Lionel Messi doing a photo shoot with a baby in a bathtub, and that is Yamal. So it's kind of a full circle of the prodigy.
Wow. When Messi was a young 18-year-old, even younger, he was the star of Barcelona's soccer program. Lamine Yamal grew up in Barcelona and was kind of like the face of their youth program. So as Messi was the face of the senior team and grew them to prominence, there was kind of like this crossing the generations moment then with that generational picture that's now gone everywhere since the World Cup final has been solidified. So you're going to see that a lot throughout this rest of this week.
Yeah. So
very good.
So those two are going to square off on Sunday, and should be a really good game. And Argentina trying to go back to back. They had that thriller over Spain in the last World Cup, and like I said earlier, looking to be the third team to retain the World Cup, go back to back. So some good soccer to wrap it up here on the weekend. But I had a lot of fun watching this over the last 6 weeks. It's when the U.S. first started, I'm like, man, it's going to be a long tournament. And then it just flew by. I guess that's just how it goes here.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
All right, we're the home of the Blackhawks, so we'll get some hockey in here. The full schedule will be released tomorrow. You know how everyone likes to make everything an event now. You know, the NFL schedule released everything. So we did get the season opening games, and everybody released their home openers in the world of hockey. And the Blackhawks, once again, on the road to open the season. It's the ninth straight year they start on the road. So they're going to be in Vegas on September 29th. Earlier start because there's 84 games in a season now. They're going to be playing the Vegas Golden Knights, the defending Western Conference champions. 9:30 puck drop, final game of the ESPN triple header. So a late one that will get out of the way here for Hawks fans early on. National TV, once again, they normally start on national TV, so it'll be a good test for this team, especially because Connor Bedard is not going to be playing in that game, unfortunately. So young Hawks get a test here. We also know three games of their opening road trip. It's a very funky road trip. It's a start in Vegas, and then it looks like they go to Utah and then Buffalo. So just going to go across the country, I guess, to start the season. And then the Hawks home opener is on October 6th against the Blues at 7 p.m. So a little earlier start than normal. They normally play 7:30 games. They're starting at 7 o'clock for the home opener. That's on October 6th. So,
yeah, and that's when I start hibernating.
Yes.
I just want to throw that in there. Yeah.
Yes.
That's when John and I are going to hang out and go to dinner and
yeah,
spend
free.
Our evenings he's doing something else.
He's free on the weeknights, so there you go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Hawks will have the full schedule tomorrow. More breakdown into that. But, yeah, the hockey season's already around the corner. I mean, it's like 2 months they start training camp because this is an 84-game season, so just before you know it, it'll be hockey season. Another hockey news here. It's been, I guess, popping around here on social media the past few days where Patrick Kane's going to go. And it seems like it really is down to the Blackhawks or going back home to Buffalo where he's from. And I've seen these rumors for a while that the Hawks were in, but it's hard to believe that because they moved down from him. But now it seems like there's some steam and smoke in that area that maybe 88's coming back home to Chicago, which would be very cool to see a franchise legend come back and then play with Connor Bedard once he's healthy.
It'd be
two high profile players who think the same way, and it would be very fun to watch to see 88 back. So
that would put some people in the seats.
That
there's
too.
No question about that.
Now I have a question from a age standpoint, is he going to be super beneficial for the team being as old as he is, or he's still really good?
Yeah. He's battled some injuries the past few years, but I mean, he's still got it in the tank a little bit. So
at the end of the day, he's still Patrick Kane.
Right. No, of course, right. But he's an older gentleman at this point in the world of hockey. In the world
like
of hockey,
late 30s.
Yes,
yeah,
but Patrick Kane is Patrick Kane.
Right?
Is he an ambassador?
That's I don't know if he's reached that yet.
He's not your status.
So I hope we see Kane back. I think it would make a lot of sense, but we're kind of in a waiting pattern here, and it'll be interesting to see. He's from Buffalo. It's always been rumored he might go back there at some point in his career, and right now it seems like the decision is, do I want to play in my hometown, or do I want to play for basically his second home? You know, I think he still lives in the Chicago area, even though he hasn't been on the team in the past few years. So
theoretically, how long would he play for the team that he'd be going to?
It's a good question, because the last few years he's just been signing one-year contracts.
Interesting.
So I think he's taking it year by year, but when he's been healthy, he's been playing really well. So that's really just the factor. And once Bedard comes back, he doesn't have to be like the main guy. It could just be those two. So it would be good for the young team. And the Hawks still need to name a captain. I don't think it would be Kane if he came back. It seems like it's Connor Bedard's time to be captain. But he has the injury. He needs to be re-signed still and work out the new deal. And we'll see if that's something they get to. But it seems like Connor Bedard's going to be the captain. He wore a letter last year when they had some injuries and their leadership was injured. They needed someone to wear the letter. And then when they traded their whole leadership core at the deadline, he wore a letter as well. So it seems like this is kind of Bedard's team moving forward. All right, jumping around here a little bit. The All-Star game last night, I know Eli talked about it a little bit. Not a lot going on. 4-0 loss for the NL. I think the AL's won 12 out of the last 14 games in the All-Star game. We did have, I know Eli said he touched on this right at the end of the show. Miguel Vargas hit a home run, the White Sox third baseman. Just a absolute bomb off his bat, second deck. Really good for him. He went viral on social media last year, or not last year, 2 years ago when the White Sox were setting the record for the most amount of losses. It was him sitting in the dugout. Someone got a screenshot of him sitting in the dugout just looking really sad just because he was on the Dodgers. He gets traded to the White Sox. They're just stuck in this funk, and he's just had a great year. He had a solid second half last year. He's turning into an all-star year this year and just really been one of the faces for this team coming out of their resurgent season. So he goes deep in the All-Star game. He was celebrating with Murakami and Peters doing their thing. So it was cool to see that. And then PCA was on the mic, the Cubs center fielder. They were interviewing him on the broadcast when that happened. And you just hear him go, oh gosh, when he hit that, because you just knew it was a no doubt homer. So a fun Chicago moment there. Pete also talked about how the city's alive with two baseball teams in playoff position. It's really fun. And then he also had to talk about his buddy Caleb Williams and how the Bears get the city going. He's like, if the Cubs are in the playoffs and the White Sox are in the playoffs and the Bears are off to a good start, it's going to be a fun fall in Chicago. So Vargas's home run was the third home run in White Sox history. Frank Thomas and Magdy Ordóñez are the only other two to go deep in the All-Star game, which kind of surprised me a little bit. I thought because Jose Abreu's played in a few, Jermaine Dye's played in a few, Paul Konerko, but just those three. So a cool list for Miguel Vargas to add his name to. And so the season resumes on Friday for the Cubs and White Sox. There's one baseball game tomorrow. So it's just a quiet time of year right now. But
all right, then.
We still got more. Okay. The Bears are starting, believe it or not, football's almost here.
Great. Now that I can get next.
The Bears are going to do a training camp practice at Stevenson High School on August 10th at 11 a.m. So the tickets, I think they go on sale tomorrow on the Bears app, and that'll be a fun thing with them. They practice close there at Hallis Hall, but they're doing a varsity Bears day at Stevenson. So they do go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m., and it'll be fun to see them, you know, just going back to their roots at a high school stadium. So training camp starts July 30th, I think. Mm. So that's 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Wow.
And Eli was telling me, so who's reporting like in a week?
Some teams are having their rookies report as early as Friday. I think it's the Seahawks, the defending Super Bowl champions. They're going to have their rookies in the building as early as this Friday.
Yeah, so football, yeah. Football's almost back. Everybody can get behind that. And then golf, the final major of the year starts tomorrow at Royal Birkdale. Tommy Fleetwood, the Englishman, he grew up 2 miles away from there. So he's looking for his first career major, and he could do it just 2 miles from where he grew up. That's where a lot of the fan support will be. Scottie Scheffler, world number one, still the favorite to win, even though he missed the cut last week for the first time in about 2 or 3 years. It's like 70 straight events he made the cut in, so we'll see if there's a bounce back from world number one. And then this is for me and Ashley. Bryson DeChambeau is trying to not miss the cut for the 4th straight major.
My eye candy.
That's a permanent position on the team, isn't it? He plays eye candy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For Team Ashley.
For Team Ashley.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Yeah. So,
does that wrap it up?
Yeah. So, yeah, Bryson trying to not miss the cut. And then one more, Portillo's is opening a Wrigleyville location.
Oh, where, though?
A block from the ballpark at 3519 North Clark Street, a block south. It's the 5th Portillo's location, and it's opening in Wrigley because, you know, they don't have enough restaurants down there.
Yeah, they don't. There's just no activity around that ballpark. I don't know what's wrong with that neighborhood. Jack will be back tomorrow night, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll be emptying his sports head then, too.